Nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together than the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is the home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sack, Slash, and Super Sam Ross always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Welcome to an off-season edition of Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. Wherever you're listening to on iHeartRadio, please go to the iHeartRadio app and make sure you subscribe, download, rate and review us, or wherever you listen to podcasts here in Philly or across the world. We haven't gotten together to all of us in a couple of weeks, so we got a lot to talk about here. We're going to go through the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the big Harden trade. My man Sackmaster is going to go off on the MLB lockout. I'm sure we have all things to say on there if there is going to be a baseball season here. But before we do, let's just take care of the business first. Green Legion Radio is brought to you by Bud Light, Stateside Vodka, MCS Residential, and MCS Custom Cabinetry. The next sip, all the Cavs restaurants. Cavs River Deck is closed for the season, but we got Cavs Head House, Cavs Rittenhouse, and Kavanaugh's University City. The lovely ladies at Delilah's. You want a James Harden sighting? You know exactly where to go on Spring Garden Street. The lovely ladies at Delilah's. James Harden is a boon for the local Delilah's economy. All the City Fitness Philadelphia locations. If you're across the bridge over by Chris Sack, Echelon Health and Fitness, Bucks County Baseball Company just picked up a nice piece from Bucks County Baseball Company. The website is even bigger than the showroom up there in Bristol. The King of Prussia Diner, Cherry Hill Triplex, Dave Bavuso at State Farm. Hey, it's time, you get new cars. Interest rates are going up. You want to get everything in now. Call up Dave. He'll hook you up no matter what state you live in. Our good friends over at the Finn in Fishtown. If you haven't checked them out yet, the menu, I'm going to say this wrong. I don't know if they update it every month or every 3 weeks or every 6 weeks, but they're always putting out new and interesting spins on things. It's great there. And of course, our friends at Twin Spires. I actually got a check here. I'm not even sure, but now that the NFL season's over, I'm sure we'll have some sort of promo here to get your $250 in free bets. I won on my Twin Spires app on Sunday. I won a whopping $27, but hey, you know, every little bit helps. I am Mike Diaz. Shut up, Diaz. I'm the social media director at Green Legion. I am also the resident Sixers fan going nuts here. We don't have to talk about Ben Simmons ever again. We're not going to talk about Ben Simmons at all today. I am with my good friend, my partner in crime on the Ice to Shorts Winter Sports, which it's someone on a hiatus here. Things aren't too good in Flyers land. My good friend, Chris Sack, Sackmaster, Reggie, hoo-ha-ha. Chris Sack, how you doing, my man?
Listen, we're not on hiatus because of how the Flyers are playing. Listen, let's call a spade, all right? If you want Ice to Shorts, all you have to do is really just go to Twitter because your friends drag me into every single Sixers, Flyers, and B. Giroux debate, and I love every second of it because they call you out on all of your crap, all of your terrible, terrible takes that you've had throughout the years, and I just sit back. And actually, no, me and you mainly go at it, but I'll tell you what, your friend Ian is fantastic when it comes to Photoshop. He makes up tweets.
He never RTs anything. He never retweets anything. It looks just like Mike Diaz tweet. He takes screenshots of my tweets. I'm using my quotation marks here. It's a load of crap. Don't even anyone that's checking out the Twitter feed. Twitter's a bunch of lies. Ian Moran, great at Photoshop, but just terrible, terrible takes there. And actually that leads, if we have enough time here, I'm going to talk about at the end of the show, teams and players' legacies with Matthew Stafford winning a Super Bowl. Now he's a Super Bowl winning QB. We'll get to all that later.
Yeah, have to chime in on that because, listen, I think it's unfair, and we'll harp on it later, but just so I can get my say about this, is I think it's really unfair for the guy to win four postseason games, and three of them he had to pretty much have game-winning drives in them to win. And the guy wins one Super Bowl, and everyone wants to put him in the Hall of Fame. I love Matthew Stafford. I'm happy for him that he won. But come on, man. Like, I need at least three or four more of these years and another one of these runs at least before you can kind of put him in Kurt Warner category.
I'm with you. And there's – I got a little list here. I'm sure there's other examples we'll hit there. But moving on, beyond just Sack, we got our good friend slash the sales guy slash Kyle Nonnemaker slash I haven't talked to you in a while. Someone was talking about some – someone was talking about Slash's Snake Pit. I got all excited, and I saw some dude with the top hat and a guitar, and not my man Kyle. How you doing there?
I don't know. That guy's irrelevant. I'm the only Slash everybody needs to know. So
I'm we're doing happy.
Fantastic.
We're happy you have returned to the humble abode with the starchy and stiff as rocks rally towels in the background. We haven't seen those, I don't know, since the beginning of the pandemic. It's been a couple years.
I used them to clean the boys earlier today.
Also, we have someone in here. I don't know if we need a whole lot of time there. Our super intern, Super Sam Ross. She has been. She has her own show now, supposedly, right on cue, and that broadcast on Tuesdays. But Sam, we haven't seen you in a while. We miss you greatly. How are you? But more importantly, can we get an update on Big Sam and Donna?
They're feeling much better. They're on the mend. We're everything's looking up. It wasn't too bad, thank goodness. They're both vaccinated. So everything's on the mend.
That's great. That's good. And you're being good daughter. You are staying away from them.
Dropping groceries at the front door and running away. Yes.
Okay. Now, do you think that because they figured out this is how it worked, that you will drop off food and run away, they'll just continue to have COVID, you know, for the rest of their lives?
That's a great question that I'll have to bring up to them, because I feel like you might be onto something. I feel like that might happen. They're just going to have their friends and family just leave food at their door and then run away.
Speaking of Sam having her own show, which she's been appearing on Tuesday nights with Quimby on the Right on Cue show. And I'll tell you what, her role in the show is just like any female that has been on the Colin Cowherd show. Colin Cowherd and Quimby are both blowhards. They talk a ton. And then the female counterpart in the show chimes in every now and again. Am I right, Sam?
Well, yeah, but normally what I...
Okay, so we're going to talk about today. We're talking about NFL. Like I said, we're going to hit some MLB lockout. I got to talk about the Harden thing. A quick Green Legion news. The Phillies opening day tailgate. Whenever they play again, there will be a Phillies opening day tailgate. So we only have 500 spots. That's a good way to get the whole gang back together. We haven't been together since football season. Phillies opening day tailgate. Tickets are on sale. And early birds for all Green Legion trips. We are going to Arizona, Chicago, Houston, Indianapolis. Please, Indianapolis, hold on to Wentz just this year. Detroit. Dallas, the DC Commanders. I like saying the Commodes. Other people like saying Commies. They'll be in our NFL rundown. But just real quick here, how early birds works. You put in your deposit. It's $150. It is fully refundable and fully transferable. We don't know the schedule yet. We know where we're going. You want to go to Chicago. You put your $150 down. You reserve your preferences for when your spot in line for when the schedule does come out. We have our flight itineraries, our different hotel choices. Sometimes we have lower level tickets and upper level tickets, or sometimes we have a limited amount of club level tickets. So all the early birds does is it reserves your spot in line. It gives us a good view of what we can expect when the schedule does go on sale. And when it does, the schedule does come out. When the NFL schedule does come out in late April, and you find out you got a wedding the weekend you wanted to go to Chicago or Indianapolis or whatever, you can't make it. You have until May 15th where you could transfer that $150 to another trip. Let's say Arizona. Scottsdale is gorgeous. Go to Scottsdale. You reserve your spot in line. Your $150 will apply to that. And if it just turns out for some reason you can't find a game that fits your schedule, we will send the $150 back to you. Usually it takes a couple weeks for them to process. But that's the Green Legion news. Real quick on Green Legion news, though. Sack, you were at Freeze Fest a couple weeks ago, deep in the heart of Delco, broadcasting live on Fox Sports The Gambler with a special Green Legion radio edition with former Eagles Pro Bowl wide receiver Irving Fryer and Dave Spadaro, who's been on QVC this week or earlier after the Super Bowl, hawking a Super Bowl prize. How did that go? I want to know some of the behind the scenes. Was it full Delco? Is there any Delco-level stories you can tell us?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Freeze Fest was a great time, in particular where they had the cornhole beer pong tournament area. There's 10 rooms, 10 DJs, 10 live bands. It was insane. We had one break where this idiot walked up, just spouting off, cursing all over the place. And like he's sitting there. you remember him, Slash?
Yeah, he was great. Fantastic.
Yeah. So then like, Then all of a sudden he says he's a Steelers fan. So I start ripping on Ben Roethlisberger and my hatred for him. I hate Mike Tomlin. He's never done anything. He's never done anything right. And I'm like, so you're going to give all the credit to the rapist and you're not going to give any credit to the head coach. He's like, oh, yeah. So he's like saying all this stuff. So we're going back on air. And he's talking to Dave as we're on air. And all I need is for him to just drop one curse word while we're on air. And you could, if you listen back to the broadcast, I'm like, yo, buddy, we're doing a live radio show here. You got to beat it. And like, dude, he looked so annoyed with me. He kind of just walked away. But that was full blown Delco. But everybody else that was there was fantastic. From the staff to the crowd that we had there, great people, great time. I recommend it for anybody next year. Go to Freeze Fest. That place is awesome, Diaz. Awesome.
The Ridley House down in in Ridley.
It's huge. Yes. And it was popping at like 4 o'clock. Like when you talk about that Pong gallery room, there was like 10 tables in there and there was just games popping off left and right.
We got to check it out. Maybe we should just do a reoccurring like once a month thing. Or maybe we do the NFL draft show there or something like that. And by the way, our good friend, Keenan Harmon chiming in. Hey, we'll get to the list. I don't rattle on and on and on. Sam is on the show. We can't ever shut her up. We'll get to it. Let's hit it to NFL Super Bowl. What was it? Super Bowl 56, right? Super 56. Bowl
56. Yes.
Rams 23, Bengals 20. Hey, listen, that Eagle Super Bowl 52 is getting farther and farther away. You have a 5-year limit. Bill Simmons said you have 5-year limit on championships. We're at the end of that now.
I'm 39.
Geez, what were your guys' thoughts on the game? Just like overall idea, after watching Sack. Why don't you give us first?
I enjoyed it. It was two different teams. I know the Rams were there a few years ago, but it wasn't Jared Goff again. And then the Bengals haven't been there in over 30 years. You had two different quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow. You had big names, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, Ja'Marr Chase, across the board. It was just a lot of star power. I was disappointed with the lack of fireworks. I wish there was a little bit more scoring in the game, but I think that over-under should have told you what you were going to expect from the very beginning at 48.5. You should have expected to be the under. I'll tell you what I really enjoyed, and I know a lot of people aren't going to say this because the end of the game kind of ruined it. There wasn't a lot of flags. There wasn't a lot of penalties throughout the game. They were letting the players play. Up until that phantom call against Cooper Kupp, I didn't really see much holding on that play. But if you're going to call it as it is, maybe that was the makeup call that the Rams were looking for after what T. Higgins did to Jalen Ramsey on the 75-yard touchdown catch to start off the second half when he grabbed him by the face mask and yanked him to the ground. So if we're going to be fair about things and we want to look at it that way, there you go. There's the balance of power right there. I know we're going to dive into it with the Super Bowl MVP. I'll tell you what, I don't like the fact that the Super Bowl MVP gets voted on prior to the 2-minute warning. There's a lot of things that happen after those 2 minutes. And listen, as great of a game as Cooper Kupp had, 8 receptions, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns, he largely disappeared for almost 2 quarters after Odell tore his ACL. The real MVP of that game and kept the game close the whole entire way through was Aaron Donald. And you know what? They poked that bear along that sideline, and that's when he got pissed. I mean, he didn't get a sack on that last play of the game, but he held on 3rd-and-1. He was the one that made that tackle to hold it to 4th-and-1. And he was the one that got home to Joe Burrow. The Super Bowl MVP should have been Aaron Donald. And not just because I had $50 on him, I would have won $750. But I'm just saying, yeah, he should have been the Super Bowl MVP. Aaron Donald is a man beast. And I'm glad that all his retirement talk is going to the wayside now, because the NFL needs players like Aaron Donald. Great dudes, great players that make great plays in the biggest moments.
Slash, what do you think about the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, building off of what Zach said, Jari Evans on the All-Pro Philly show Monday said the same thing about Aaron Donald, about you don't need to get on the stat sheet to be able to make an impact. So I agree. I think Aaron Donald should have been the MVP. But overall, I think it was a good Super Bowl because it was close, but I expected the low scoring. I really did. I pounded the under 48.5 just because of how conservative both teams can come out and play.
What are you taking? You're taking betting tips from Quimby now, huh? Going under?
God, no. He goes 100% every game. I actually look at the logistics. But no, it was a good game. And I know we're going to get into this later, but I can't wait to get your guys' thoughts on the halftime show. But overall, I was rooting for Cincinnati. I had Cincinnati winning the game. I think Joe Burrow will get there. I'm glad for Matt Stafford. I mean, he had to suffer, 9 years in Detroit to finally get
12.
One. But is it 12?
Yeah, 12. Jeez. He was drafted in 2009, yeah.
It feels like 25, but I'm glad for him.
Tell him that.
And his wife. But all I can say, it was a close game, which means it, in my mind, was a good Super Bowl. The parade, on the other hand, was another story.
We'll get to the parade. Let's just – I like what Zach was starting
with. At least we will.
Sam, do you have any thoughts at all you'd like to share on the Super Bowl?
I thought it was boring.
Great insight there from intern Super Sam Ross.
If it's a close
Tom Brady.
Super Bowl, it's,
Tom Brady wasn't in it.
Yeah, right.
If it's a close Super Bowl, I automatically say it's a good game. I mean,
no, you're right, and it wasn't a completely boring game. I just, there was nothing that was like so. Every game leading up to it was so close and so exciting in those final moments that I guess I wanted that to happen. I wanted some exciting fourth quarter situation, and it didn't give it to me for that.
Well, it did come down to the last drive. I think we just got spoiled with what happened in the playoffs earlier this year. There wasn't a walk-off. So we just say like, yeah, it came down to a final drive, but no walk-off or like big firework play to end the game. So I can see what you're saying though.
Sam, if they would have got the extra 10 to 15 yards there and Evan McPherson drills a field goal and sends it to overtime, does your viewpoint on the game change at that standpoint?
A little bit, yeah. And I know that makes me wishy-washy, but I'm spoiled from the last playoff games. The whole playoff run was so exciting, and you were like so amped up to watch the next game because of how great the playoffs were, that the Super Bowl just didn't excite me in the same way.
Sam, don't sell yourself short. There's plenty that makes you wishy-washy, not just that one opinion. I think the one thing that kind of that burned us too is it did come down to the last drive, so to speak, from Cincinnati. But that long drive from the Rams before, you know, the other games was, you know, don't quote me on it, but relatively quick strikes, a bomb, you know, a run and then a touchdown to Kelce or something like that. This was, you know, they did it all right. They took their time. They needed they took the, you know, but it was just like, okay, like, you know, drive, plus the expanded commercial breaks. You know, it was,
right.
It
I had,
it, if you look at it or you sped it up or you watch it on some sort of replay or some replay mix or something, it's going to appear more intense. It just, you know, that last drive took 30 minutes of real time. So, you know, it wasn't as exciting with quick strikes, you know. Zach, what's up?
Well, here's the thing about that drive, though. There was a lot of excitement about it and a lot of intense moments. I mean, you're fourth and one from your own, 30, 35-yard line, and you call a jet sweep to Cooper Kupp, who almost got tackled behind the line of scrimmage and actually
converted. What was that?
Listen, hey, it worked. It worked. They didn't put the ball in the air, and you put it in the hands of your best player.
Exactly.
And they got the play. And then the throw that Stafford made, the no look pass to Kupp that got the safety to bite just just a little, just enough for him to throw that ball right the cup because he looked like he was going to check down to the tight end. I'll tell you, there were some exciting moments on that drive. What killed it was a couple flags towards the end there for a lot of people. But it was exciting. It was an exciting game. It had its moments. It had its down moments too. But, you know, for the most part, it was an exciting game.
Oh, I thought you were going to lead. I thought we were all waiting for your magic.
You were waiting for me to go in? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any other comments from of our friends around town?
Well, listen, if we're going to talk about greatness, why don't we talk about Greater Philadelphia Health Action, GPHA, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services for over 50 years. Full family care for the entire family, prenatal, pediatrics, adults, specialty services, and more. COVID-19 vaccine and testing available. Hopefully that crap's going out the window soon. 11 locations throughout Philadelphia, over 85,000 patients. Telehealth and on-site appointments available. Schedule an appointment today, 1-888-296-GPHA. Website for more information on services and a complete listing of locations, www.gphainc.org.
We will be right back in a few minutes, and we'll talk about the referees, we'll talk about the halftime show, and our picks for the best ads on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler. And we're back on Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler. We're talking about the Super Bowl. You know, we kind of went off a little bit there at the end, but Cooper Kupp, I want to go back to this whole MVP thing, because if you watch that game, Aaron Donald was the most impactful player on the field, and I'm happy that the MVP was not a quarterback, which is, I mean, how rare is that? Cooper Kupp had a great game. I guess it's because he scored the two touchdowns and the last one. I guess that's what it is. He had a good game, but on Cooper Kupp standards throughout the playoffs and the regular season, technically it was a subpar game. 8 catches for 92 yards. I mean, you know,
that's
8
trash.
Catches, 92.
Garbage.
Yeah, trash. He's trash. But, you know, I just don't know how you watch that game. And I get, you know, even so, Sack, you're right. They've got to change. These are some little things in sports that just bothers people that are so easily changed. Does anyone really care who the Super Bowl MVP is, you know, when the clock strikes zero? I mean, it's like, we'll find out. Maybe we find out in 30 minutes. The trophy presentation is like an hour afterwards. It's, you know, so we don't need to know who that MVP is. Maybe they want the MVP to, you know, to raise the trophy. But everybody raises the trophy. The head coach, the owner does. The head coach does. Stafford does. Then Aaron Donald does. Then Cooper Kupp does. Then Beckham does. You know, so we don't get it right. You know, you're asking voters to vote early. It's just like, I mean, I know, you know, the all-star thing we talk about, Sack. Imagine voting for the MVP right now, you know, or the MVP of the NBA, you know, with 10 games left or 20 games left, and Bede gets hurt and doesn't play. And it's like, oh, well, it was before he voted. It's ridiculous. I don't know. Sam, you got something?
Yeah, the MVP, quote unquote, goes to Disneyland or Disney World or whatever. And the commercial was three. It was the quarterback. It was Cooper Kupp.
Donald and Kupp.
Yes.
Matt Stafford, the quarterback?
Yeah, all three of them went to Disney World or Disneyland in this case, and that is the MVP. That is,
so
that's
it's for sponsorship status?
I guess so. Usually whoever does the I'm going to Disney wherever, it's the MVP who does it.
I'm glad the Stafford family is able to tag along.
Thank you for the Disney update, Super Sam. Sack, what you got?
I would like to acknowledge the least valuable player of Super Bowl 56. Eli Crapple, fantastic job. Listen, I say this all the time, okay? You don't talk crap until the very end. And what he did along the way, he burned his bridges with the fans for the Giants. He burned his bridges with the fans from the Saints. After the Kansas City game, he was ripping on Twitter Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill. And what was going on the very moment that game ended? Who was coming after him on Twitter? Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, and every Giant Saints fan. He still has yet to tweet since the Super Bowl.
And he stinks.
And I advise him that he needs to stay off of Twitter for a long time after that performance.
He had a horrible AFC Championship game, too, and he's still mouthing off.
Well, he dropped the pick six, or he dropped the pick that would have led to them winning that game a little bit earlier. But, yeah. Unbelievable. the least valuable player of the award for Super Bowl 56, Eli Crapple. Fantastic job. Well deserved.
Doesn't he have a troublesome mother that gets involved? Something with the Giants. It was his mom tweeting or made a scene or something.
Oh, it's like Al Horford's sister.
Ah, yes. Anna Horford. Okay. I got you. Causing
I think
trouble.
The most valuable player should have been the Cincinnati offensive line for only giving up 7 sacks in the Super Bowl.
Tied for the most in Super Bowl history.
Yeah. Only 7. That's pretty good. That's a new record for them.
So now we have better. Let's talk about Super Bowl winning quarterback Matt Stafford. Does this mean anything for his legacy? Obviously, it's great, but it's great that you win. But this is what I'm talking about. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but you know, all of a sudden, it's like they need. Is Matthew Stafford better than Jared Goff? Yeah, sure. Was Matthew Stafford the only quarterback that could have done these things? No. He's good quarterback. He's probably somewhere around.
You led the league in picks.
Yeah, he's somewhere around like 10th or something. I don't know. I don't know how the whole rankings really go. But any thoughts on Stafford besides the fact that yesterday, a photographer at the parade fell off of the platform, broke her back, and you saw a drunk-ass Matthew Stafford turning around and ignoring, letting his wife pick her up.
Listen, hold on. His wife didn't even pick her up, okay? They were.
Well, she showed some concern.
Okay, and he's plastered. He's plastered. Diaz, you don't show enough concern sometimes when you're plastered to help us clean up the equipment after a show.
Whoa.
That's right.
Hold up for a second here. I am talent. Talent does not do the labor. I'm not in the union. I show up, I sing my songs, and I exit stage left. That's what I do. You know, I'm not setting up tables and whatnot.
Really?
Really? Oh, come on, Mr. Big Time. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Big Time helps and cleans up afterwards. That's all I'm saying. But Matt Stafford, he was trash. What was he going to do in that situation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's not like he laughed. I saw people saying that he laughed. He turned and was like, oh, damn. And would like turn and was like drinking his water because he had to. He was so plastered. But I'll tell you what.
Antonio Williams. Nick Foles has a bigger legacy than Stafford. I think he has more than just a bigger legacy there.
Well, I think that's what he was going for.
I know.
But listen, what Matt Stafford did in this playoff run was proof that everything that had transpired in his first 12 years of his career was all because of that cesspool that is Detroit. He was put with a real head coach. He was surrounded by real weapons, real teammates that know how to win and get the job done. The thing is he was the finishing touch to put this team over the edge. And that's not a slap in the face for Odell Beckham Jr., who had big contributions for the team, and Von Miller after he got traded there from Denver. They were big pieces. But there's a huge difference between Matt Stafford and Jared Goff. And the proof was in the pudding. You saw that in the playoffs with what he was able to do in those games when things were falling apart against Tampa and how he was able to get that drive when everything, dude, 27-3 and all of a sudden it's 27-27. He avoids overtime with the GOAT. And then he brings that comeback. And I know he almost threw that pick that safety in the Niners game. But what did he do?
He did throw the pick. The guy just dropped the ball. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, you could say there should be a statistic for that, too. Like
there is. There actually is. Like almost like what should be an interceptor, or what should be a turnover and what isn't. There actually is a statistic for that. Yeah.
Yeah, but, almost.
But I'll look at it from this with Stafford is he didn't get rattled by that play. And that interception wouldn't have been the ball game. They would have had a shot to go down and tie the game or take the lead and win the game. And then the Super Bowl. You see what he did with 5 minutes left in the game. Great for him. I'm happy for him. The thing that I hate this week is all of a sudden there's people either trying to legitimize a case for the Hall of Fame or try and put down his career. Like, why can't we just let things marinate? He's 34 years old. He's got about another 3, 4, 5 years left in his career. And with this team and with this core, they're going to make another run next year for sure. They might have another run in him in 2023. But to put this man in the Hall of Fame already, or to even just have the conversation, how bored are we in sports talk radio land to even make that a conversation?
I can't stand it. And that's what I was getting at with this whole legacy thing. It's like either the guy was, winning the Super Bowl is great, but And when the Eagles going through it, I don't know how you guys felt, but like after actually doing it, just how tight of a line it is. You're like walking this tightrope where some of the, it makes me go back and think of some of the NFC Championship losses, not the Tampa Bay one, but some of the other ones. And it's like, they were right there. Like to say they choked because they lost as favorites in Arizona, like, Arizona was a good team. Like you're playing in the, there's four teams left. They're the best generally. Four of the last six good teams, you know? So it's just kind of like this overuse of exaggeration. Oh, this guy is great. You know, this guy's great. You know, this is, I get back to the Eli Manning thing. Eli Manning was not a good quarterback, had a great run. Two great runs in the, actually really one. The other one was like, you look at his plays, he didn't do anything, but the defense was good. Was they like good enough to win.
Second Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay,
well,
Peyton,
carcass out there.
Yeah, but hey, Peyton Manning's won two Super Bowls. I mean, that's got to mean something. And it's like, it does. It doesn't mean nothing, but we all watched it. We know that second Super Bowl had nothing. He was basically surviving. He could have been throwing with his left arm and being just as successful, you know? So, yeah, I didn't even see or hear if he's a Hall of Famer or not. I mean, I guess if he wins two more or one more, maybe. I don't know. You have to see how he played, but he... Listen, here's his line. 26 for 40, 283 yards, 3 TDs, and 2 interceptions. It's good. It's not bad. He's not a bad player.
The one was a glorified punt. I mean, let's just call what it is, right? I mean, it's kind of like it's like Nick Foles. His interception in the Super Bowl, I mean, it was more of a position game. You're throwing it down the field. You see if you're going to take a shot. And it wound up being an interception, but it was in the end zone. So it didn't hurt either way. They didn't get anything out of it. And the other one was a tip ball right at the beginning of half. He put it right in the hands of the wide receiver, and it wound up that way.
It's not just the INTs. I'm just saying, like, he's fine. It's fine. It's like, yeah. He wasn't bad, but it's not, you know, he's great. And so to bring up a Hall of Fame conversation with I don't know. I mean, we're arguing whether it's Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald as the MVP, you know, so...
That goes to my point. I mean, everybody, all sports fans are hungry for debate. So it's like Cincinnati or Rams, who's going to win the Super Bowl? And then it's like as soon as it's over, it's like, okay, Stafford. Is he a Hall of Famer or not? Super Bowl MVP? And it's just like there's got to be like room for debate at all times. And people just pull stuff out of their you-know-what to get it.
Yeah.
Real quick, Diaz, one of my favorite ones is, did the Rams win the Super Bowl or did the Bengals lose the Super Bowl?
Oh, God, you know, that's like, a classic.
That kind of debate always cracks me up. It's like, you know, did the Rams really earn it or did the Bengals just blow it? And it's like, come on, man. Like, and then you always got to find somebody to blame for it. It's just, how about the best team that day just won? I mean,
and it's
Stafford
so,
have held his the trophy up with his left hand or his right? What's the meaning behind it? What's going on?
The NFL, it just keeps showing how it's not random, but you know, we joke about, you know, oh, in the NHL, you just got to get in the playoffs. And it's like, you do, but all the teams are capable of doing it. The NFL, it's like, you only have to win one game. You win four, you know, if you're a wild card, you win four games and that's it. You just 4-game win streak. That's all you need to go on. It is so random. We had the 2 seed and the 4 seed or something like that. You got to be a good team. You got to make plays. You got to be good. You have to have, you know, all top level talent players.
Well, but 2 4-seeds. Both the teams.
Oh, the Rams were 4-seed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because Tampa was second. What am I talking about? Yeah. Yeah, so it's just, you know, they get hot. You get healthy at the right time. You make some good plays. Let's talk about, speaking of debate, though, Kyle, we still got a couple minutes. Does this Super Bowl prove or finalize the rushing versus passing debate that we talk about on Green Legion Radio all the time? There was no rushing games at all. The Rams go out and trade all of their future first round picks for Matthew Stafford, their quarterback, you know, who was a good quality pro in Detroit, brings him in, and now we're talking, you know, we're not, but some are talking about him being NFL. Can we settle the debate? You have to, the Eagles do nothing in the playoffs without a passing game. You need a competent passing quarterback. Can we close this book, gentlemen? And lady.
Jeez Louise. Absolutely. I mean, Joe Mixon basically didn't do anything. He didn't do not that he didn't do anything in the playoffs, but he wasn't the Joe Mixon of the regular season. And you look at Tennessee, Derrick Henry comes back. It's like, oh, Derrick Henry's back. You know, once he shakes that rust off, it's going to be, you know, all glory from there. Oh, wait, that's right. Ryan Tannehill's his quarterback. You need that competent passing game in today's game to succeed. You can't rely on, like, well, we got two, you know, power backs that are just going to take over the game. No, there's easy defensive game planning for that. You need to have a level game plan in order to make those adjustments at halftime, which, you know, we saw was evident that was pretty much a failure for Kansas City in the championship game. But you have to have multiple facets of your game in order to succeed. You can't just rely heavily on one or the other.
I'm baffled here, okay? Because Joe Mixon is one of the best running backs in the game. And third and one, Super Bowl on the line, and you have Samaje Perine in the game, and you're running it with him. And then the guy that Burrow almost gets the ball to underhanded as he's getting ripped to the ground by Aaron Donald, again, is Perine. And I'll tell you, if there's anybody in this world that owes Aaron Donald a Christmas basket every day for the rest of his life, is Jalen Ramsey. Because if you saw the still shot from the back of the end zone as Aaron Donald was getting to Joe Burrow, Ramsey was falling to the ground, and Ja'Marr Chase, it would have been, what was it, Mo Williams of the Saints? It would have been Mo Williams of the Saints, just worse, because that would have won the game in a Super Bowl. And I'll tell you who would have needed a good neighbor like State Farm Dave Bavuso would have been Jalen Ramsey, because he would have been getting torched all over the place. And that's why you deserve to get good service and great rates. At State Farm, we get it, and we're here to help, because with every State Farm policy, you get good neighbor service, and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to local State Farm agent Dave Bavuso about your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
We will be back finishing up the first hour. I know the fans are waiting around for our opinions on the ads. We'll talk about the halftime show and a spectacular Super Bowl parade in downtown Los Angeles the other day. Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back after this. We're back here on Green Legion Radio, off-season edition on Fox Sports The Gambler. We are talking Super Bowl, and we have a diverse panel. Very diverse. We all look completely different. What I'm talking about, of course, is our ages. I am a proud final member of Generation X. We've got Sack here, who is a resistant millennial. We have Slash trying to be a millennial. Oh, Quimby's blowing his mind. And we have Super Sam. We really don't know where she comes from, but she has opinions anyway. Let's talk about this halftime show.
I'm an overlapper.
You're an overlapper, yeah. You're an interrupter as well. Let's talk halftime show. I want to start. Let's go youngest to oldest here. Wow, with Death Row Record represent. We had Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and 50 and or is it 50? I gotta say, right?
50.
Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige. Am I missing Eminem? Of course, right? Slash. I'm more surprised about the internet reaction to the halftime show, but Slash, give me your thoughts. What, when you saw that, did you think it was good? Do you think they were crusty old octogenarians?
No, it wasn't bad. I mean, I was excited for it because I love that old school rap, and I
old school rap. Wow.
Sorry, it's not, you know, 1993 rap. I know it's after Pac and Biggie, but it's early 2000s. It's still kind of old school compared to the crap that they have today. But
true story.
I was looking forward to the halftime show, and I thought the performance was good. My thing was, and I don't know if it was just on my end, but I thought the sound quality was just off. And I saw the reviews, like you were pointing at, Diaz, on Twitter. Best halftime show ever. It was immaculate. It was unbelievable. I wanted more. I'm like, I couldn't hear them. I really couldn't hear him. Like, all the props and all that, everybody looked good. 50 put on a couple pounds, whatever. but I couldn't hear them singing at all. I don't know if it was like on my end or if it was just like the stadium was too big and too loud or the team just wasn't.
Well, we can. I could hear it fine. This does not bode well for producer slash Kyle if the audio wasn't good on your halftime show. But I did not experience that. What about you, Zach?
I love nostalgia. It took me back to
the. Of course, you're a Flyers fan. Oh!
That's hilarious because while we're almost 50 years, you're 40 years of not winning anything. So just congratulate yourself on that one. Thank you. But I love nostalgia. I love the fact that it takes you back to those days, you know, like when Eminem first came out, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade.
Graduating college, yeah.
Yeah, but it was awesome to that extent. What I hate is always the overreaction of things. We tend to glorify things way too much without remembering what has come before this. Okay, like greatest halftime show of all time, and then you got all the people that are like, oh, Diaz around your age and older. Because remember, you're going to be a grandfather. People are going to be confusing you at your daughter's graduation. Hey, your grandfather is a really nice guy. Yeah, that's my dad. But nonetheless. I look at it like this. It wasn't the best, but it definitely didn't suck. I can kind of see what Slash is talking about. But for me, it was the use of the songs. I was disappointed with the fact that M only got one, and it was Lose Yourself. I mean, Lose Yourself is a song that was for a movie. Okay. I wanted one of his original songs. So
he wrote that. That's an original song.
I get that, but
Was it Till I Collapse?
No, it was a Hollywood version. Apparently he gave up one of his songs so that way 50 could get a song. And we didn't know 50 was going to be in there. And then another thing that ticks me off about the halftime show is the overreaction that people have on jokes about 50 Cent. Like, oh my God, like people are getting bullied and 50 Cent's getting bullied. Like, I'm sure 50 Cent realizes he's thrown on some weight over the years.
A lot of vitamin water over at 50 Cent.
Right. Just like I'm aware I've thrown on weight over the years. And guess what? You take it as it is. Like, I'm not going to sit there and cry, on my couch tonight because, oh my God, somebody called me fat today. Like, really? 50 Cent is doing quite well for himself. If everyone wants to say that he's grown because of inflation or he's not 50 Cent anymore, he's a dollar or a dollar 50, get over yourself, people. Like, it's a joke. It's fun. Have a laugh at it. I'm sure he's gotten plenty of downloads since Sunday night for all of his old songs. He's doing quite well for himself.
Look at Zach trying to refuse the millennial label by going right into Quimby's wheelhouse of telling everyone to stop crying and shutting up. I'll tell you what was shocking most to me. I was bracing for, you know, the flyover country, pearl clutchers to be writing the FCC that this is terrible and our children and everything, like, you know, that happens every year. But just like the whole like, oh, like everyone's parents, you know, like all the TikToks and videos like making fun of like, oh, everyone's parents freaking out. I'm like, first off, it's a big difference between like pop stars and rock and rap. Like rap, you got, you know, there's some that have a long career, but like you've got like generally maybe 5 to 10 years and then you lose relevancy. You know, we all remember those guys and Mary J. Blige. I mean, Mary J. Blige can still sing, but it's like, oh, these are old. And it's like, man, I always think of the Super Bowl halftime as like Elton John and Prince and the Rolling Stones and U2. Yeah. I mean, I love U2. Like, I saw U2 in 1997 and they've been around for 20 years at the time. Like they put on, go see U2. It's worth the ticket. It's good. But like, you know, that's what the halftime show is. So you have something like Kendrick Lamar's not old and 50 Cent came out, whatever, 20-ish years ago, 15 years ago. Eminem's 20 years old. I mean, normally it's like The Who. Next year it'll be.
I think rap's held to a different standard though, because you can listen to classic rock. Like I listen to classic rock from the 70s, but it's like I'll hear like something from, you know, like I said, old school hip hop. It was something 50 Cent put out 20 years ago, but it's old. So I think it's just the genre we hold to a different
standard. Yeah, I mean, I get that I'm old. I get that I'm out of touch of the current hit singles on the rap charts and the pop charts. I understand that, but it's like,
Billie Eilish guy.
Billie. Like, I mean, so what are we looking for? Like, you know, I mean, besides having Dave Matthews Band as the halftime show, of course, that's what we want. Zach, what do you got?
Real quick, before we get Sam's opinion on this. I didn't see it until today, but I thought it was hilarious that people were actually calling Mary J. Blige Mary J. Thighs, and it just real quick.
That's
too,
not man. Funny. That is bullying.
Oh, bullying! Nice, but just listen, for those of you that love country music, there is no shot on God's green earth unless the Super Bowl is in Nashville someday that you're going to get a halftime show that is country music. You stand no shot. Country music sucks. Get over it, Sam.
No, it's that we get a haggard 50-year-old Madonna. Go ahead, Sam.
Listen, I really like this halftime show.
So what'd you guys think about the ads? I mean, let me tell you what my favorite...
Seriously, I can...
Okay, Sam, okay. side chatter.
Go ahead, Sam. And then after Sam, we'll wrap up.
Show. It brought me right back to my freshman year of college. I was partying. I was up dancing. It was a good time. This was the ultimate for me. Mary J, I've been listening to since I was in sixth grade. Okay. Eminem, I remember going to the movies to see 8 Mile. I'm glad they didn't play one of his sing-along songs. I'm glad they went with the movie soundtrack song.
Because Lose Yourself is not a sing-along song.
Yeah, that is a sing-along song.
That's the most sing-along song of all the songs that were performed. Lose Yourself is the most sing-along out of all of them.
You don't
Ma Spaghetti.
More than Drop It Like It's Hot? I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. All right.
Now we're on the radio.
Well, you know what? I don't know. We're going to come back on top and we're going to start hitting some of this other stuff here besides the NFL. But real quick here, Super Bowl parade. There's got to be something done about this. This is just, it's embarrassing to the league. They built this entire palace in Southern California for the NFL West studios and SoFi Stadium. And listen, they'll always make money. They'll fill it up, but it's like, It's almost like the NFL Museum West. It has the Rams just, they don't have any fans. They don't have any fans. It's a parade. They haven't had a parade for a football team ever. And I lost my train of thought because I'm like, well, the good thing about this Super Bowl is it's going to be so whoever wins has never won a Super Bowl. And because I'm not thinking about St. Louis. Yeah. But I mean, geez, like this, it's just embarrassing.
Well,
slash, what do you? Yeah. It's brand new.
They don't have true fans. They don't have original
fans. Oh, of course. That's LA for you.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I obviously didn't sit there and watch the parade. I just saw, like, a recap of it on ESPN. And just like, oh, my God, like Sean McVay and Aaron Donald and Stafford, like, sitting up on the podium talking and, like, hyping themselves up. Oh, my God. I felt like it was like a frat party meet. Where they were trying to hype themselves up before like a Friday night get together. It was so forced and just so cringeworthy.
What did you think frat parties were like? Because that's not what they were like.
I don't know.
Frat Stafford.
The one I like is Pat Statford. That's the one I like.
The thing you got to realize though is if you look at or if you've heard the ratings for the Super Bowl, Los Angeles didn't even finish in the top 10. Jacksonville was 10. Wow. Jacksonville was 10.
What were the Lakers playing that day or something?
No, there was only two NBA games that day, and LeBron was at the Super Bowl.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
but it's unbelievable how outrageous that is. If you look at all the jokes, and if you watch the overhead of the parade itself, people are walking. I don't know if like the Rams themselves, the ownership, Stan Kroenke, if they were saying, hey, I need you to follow along the parade route to make it look like there's more. But if you saw people were actually walking alongside the buses and walking down the street, imagine trying to accomplish that at one of the Eagles or Phillies parades that we've been to in our lives. It's just crazy to think about, but not as crazy as thinking that a well-built place such as SoFi Stadium could not be constructed by our friends at MCS Residential and SCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion to get 10% off your order, regardless of how much. Now offering financing options as well. I was talking with Greg earlier today. Reach out at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656.
Our good friends at MCS, we're going to talk the Harden trade and this MLB lockout mess when we come back on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, right after this. And we're back on Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler. We've got some trolls within our midst. People are enjoying. You guys got to get on the YouTube channel during our show because it seems like what people like to do is freeze frame their cameras or their screens until I'm making a goofy face and then distribute it amongst the other fans here. Listen, I appreciate the love. I appreciate the love. I know it's hard for me to get a bad picture of me, so you have to manipulate video. I think it's ridiculous, but listen. It's all good over here. It's good in Casa de Diaz because our Ben Simmons holdout nightmare is over. A trade was completed last week. Ben Simmons and Andre Drummond and Seth Curry, plus two future first-round picks, out the door, coming back to the Philadelphia 76ers. Former MVP, three-time scoring champ, six-time first-team All-NBA, 10 straight All-Star visits, future first ballot, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer, James Harden, the beard. Listen, my first thought was, I was at the game the other day, we're going to have to get used to...
What game was that, Diaz?
It's lost to the annals of history, or the annals of history in this case, but... We tend, you know, we here in Philadelphia don't generally accept new things very quickly, but this whole like fashion stuff that's going that James Harden is with double coat or whatever he was doing, he looked like some sort of Jedi Council member with that robe or jacket he was wearing, or someone from maybe the Matrix. I don't even know. Oh, Miss Secretary General Lonnie Zimmerman checking in. I love you too, Diaz Nation represent. Much appreciated. I'll share my thoughts here on the Harden trade. I think Daryl Morey is exactly what we wanted. I think he shouldn't have settled. It's just so funny to get someone like James Harden and just to think about wasting time talking about Domantas Sabonis or Tyrese Halliburton, both great players, very good players. Malcolm Brogdon.
None of these guys are going to put you over the top.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon, Caris LeVert, and a first-round pick. Like, what is that?
What has Caris LeVert ever done?
He's not a bad. He's a good player. Like if he was on the team, we would be better. But he's a borderline starter. You know, great off the bench or like no defense. He's a gunner. He's real quick. We don't even have to talk about Caris LeVert. I was excited about it. I'm very, especially after that terrible performance from. Listen, okay. Before we get to James Harden, this Boston game, it was so obvious they just didn't care. I know that professionals aren't supposed to do that. I know that it's bad for the kids. It's bad for people like me that have tickets. But it's obvious they really just didn't care. They came out in the first quarter. Boston was hot. They won eight straight and did not miss. And then by halfway through the second quarter, Embiid was trying out some new stuff, trying out the step back three. Nothing was working. And they're like, you know what? We'll live to fight another day. We're going into the break. Let's just, you know, we all need a rest. Let's chill out. But Sack, I know you are a huge TTP-er. You've been following the Sixers since birth. You've been dying for a skilled perimeter player like James Harden. What are your thoughts here on the trade? Good, bad, indifferent. Tell me your thoughts.
All right. First of all, I did believe in the process. I was avid about the process because if you're not one of the top five teams in the NBA, you're not one of the bottom five teams in the NBA, you're mired in purgatory, and that's exactly where you're going to be.
First or last.
Yeah, that's how the NBA works. That's how it's structured. You have to suck in order to get really good players to bring in top-notch players, or you have to be really good with players that you brought in, you developed, and then other players want to come and play there. with you. So I was all about the process, and largely to an extent, it has worked. They haven't advanced past the second round, but we'll get there eventually someday, right, Diaz?
That's right. That's the plan.
This right here was, to me, one of the final pieces, and I'm only saying one of. It's the biggest piece, but they have to establish themselves in the buyout market now, okay? And in years past, the teams that have won in the buyout markets have been where? The Los Angeles teams, the you know, the Heat, teams that have been – now, the Heat are there. They're the top team in the East, but how believable is that really? And I know Lewis is in the room right now. Lewis is a diehard Miami fan. How believable is that, and are they going to last that long to be the top seed at the end now with the Milwaukee Bucks, with the defending NBA champions, and the Sixers now getting James Harden, and as hot as the Celtics are right now? The East is really clustered at the top. Those top six seeds are right neck and neck with each other. And you can't forget, the Nets are going to get healthy. And I think that mandate for the vaccine for Kyrie Irving is going to fall off by the wayside. Adam Silver is now adding himself in there to try and assist getting him back to playing at Barclays. And they're going to get Kevin Durant, which is going to help them. But they have to establish themselves in the buyout market. You have to sell to these guys that are being bought out elsewhere. Shooters and another big man, because you lost Drummond in that deal, you have to sell to them. Hey, listen. You don't want to go and play with LeBron in L.A. because they probably won't even make the playoffs. They're going to be in the playing game. The Clippers are the same way. Is Paul George going to come back this year? Kawhi is not. Milwaukee, do you really want to live in Milwaukee for a couple months? Do you want to go to Miami, or do you want to play with two of the greatest basketball players on the planet right now, one of the greatest basketball players to ever live in James Harden? This right here is where Daryl Morey has to make his money. You have to solidify this bench. Right now, the bench is not good enough. They have to solidify it if they're going to make a run at these teams. Say what you will about the Bucks. They've been there. They've done that. They've won that. And they've been together for a couple years. It's going to take a little bit for Harden and Embiid to get themselves playing the right way together, but the bench is where they have to make their bread. Daryl Morey in the buyout market.
I want to comment on that, but our good friend Luis down here, great suggestion on a new segment. Now, the way that too many words, Luis, Harden's wardrobe, Rocket Outdoors, or not even at thrift stores. How about this? Outdoors or thrift store? That's just outdoor or thrift store. That's it. That's the segment. We'll do this on Green Legion Radio going forward. We'll talk about a specific outfit that he wore before or after or fit, as the kids say, you know,
could
the Gen Z years.
Newton. Yeah.
I mean, he's not as ridiculous, although I saw a picture of him wearing like a raincoat at the All-Star game, some translucent raincoat thing. You know, Sack, I hear you. Morey said today, or I heard him today on some other unnamed outlet, that they are active on the buyout, and what, you know, they were asked to prioritize whether it be a backup point guard or defense wing guy or backup center. And it sounds like the backup big guy is like kind of it's also like who was available, and that's kind of. They think that there will be more of those types available. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying, and I'm not trying to minimize or accept any losses. I don't want any more losing. I'm not trying to lose. I got a problem with Doc Rivers, and it's playing all bench lineups. And I don't want to say I don't care about the bench, because that's stupid. But for them to advance past the second round, let's put it that way. For them to advance past the second round, you don't really need a whole lot from your bench. You need eight guys to play. That's it. No more. You know, we were in the game 7 versus Atlanta, and he had an all bench lineup on. It's like this. That's what you do in the regular season to give your guys rest. That's what you do. Playoff games, they're playing 40 minutes. You're looking 8 to 10 minutes tops from you know, to spell Embiid. The guys they have now are not those guys. So I agree.
I'm about to say do you honestly believe in your 8-man rotation right now?
No, I agree. Well, I mean, 8-man rotation, I mean, a backup big, you know, B-ball Paul or Charles Bassey, that's not going to cut it. The corpse of Paul Millsap as a small ball guy. Like, I hear you, but I'm not, you know, depending on who they get, it's kind of like, it's, I care more about Harden and Embiid fitting in together with the guys around them and everyone playing well and everyone being healthy. So, like, if this Boston game was at the end of April, like you said, the seedings here are all the top six, top five, top six teams. They're all bunched in within four games.
Everything could be flipped upside down by next week.
That's right. So the seeding is like, what would be nice is in the first round to get a home court, right? And in the second round, hey, having the first seed, they blew a chance last year, and it's Atlanta was a good team. They were better than a normal five seed, but they blew it. They had the easiest path. It wasn't a guaranteed path, but the easiest path last year. This year, they're going to have to beat at least two of Miami, Milwaukee, maybe Cleveland. Boston's playing good. Who else did we got up there? We got the Sixers and
Chicago.
Like, the Sixers actually have swept Chicago for the year. Cleveland and Toronto's coming on. You know, like, those are all good. They're not cakewalk teams. They're all, you know, vet laden. It's going to be a fun. Finally, the East has returned with some quality guys. Kyle, what do you got?
Yeah, I just want to take a step back and just look back at the trade again. And everything Sack said earlier, I agree. You got to go through the buyout market to really put the pieces together and fill that bench. But I have a beef with people that didn't like the trade, because think about this time last year. We're thinking, all right, who are we going to have to give up, Maxey or Thibault in a package?
Or both. That was the problem, yeah.
Or both. You make this trade, you keep both of those guys that are staple young pieces to your team, one for defensive purposes, one as, you know, kind of an overall guy. He's building his defense up. But you keep both of those. The two draft picks, I think you can throw out the window. They don't mean anything. And then Seth Curry, nice player. It's okay. You're replacing him with James Harden, so you're not losing any guard defense or perimeter defense there, especially since Thibault's staying. And I see people that when this trade goes down, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, who's going to back up Embiid?
Yeah, right.
If you're getting James Harden and the first thing you're worried about is a backup center, I think it's pretty safe to say the Sixers won this trade, or if not won this trade, made a successful trade for both sides to come out successful.
Zach,
that's,
what do you get?
That's just the beef I had with, like, naysayers.
Here's what I got to say to that. Okay, the best backup for Embiid is James Harden. And I'm not talking about him playing the five. I'm talking about the fact that now you can give Embiid a night off. Load management, however you want to, although a lot of us don't believe in that. They just play every damn game. But you know Embiid's going to get tired at some point. He's going to need to refresh and take a night off. He's been playing a lot. And
leads now, he leads the league in, not efficiency, usage.
But the thing is now you can give him a night off and you can trust the offense with a guy like James Harden. You couldn't do that with Ben Simmons before. You weren't going to get that. And none of the other guys as well. And now you can give Harden a night off. You can, if you need to, and Embiid can carry the offense for a night. They're going to complement each other really well. What I want to see is how this is going to affect Tobias Harris's game. I think Tobias, say what you will, I think Tobias right now is going to be able to fit himself into a role that he can be comfortable in, because he's not relied on as heavily. And I don't give a damn how much money Tobias Harris makes. I don't care if he's top 10 all time in salaries in the NBA.
That's right. Now he's playing. He's on the team. Don't throw the salaries out. That'll matter in the offseason.
It has no bearing on anything, because it's like people used to say about Andre Iguodala. He's not a one or a two on your team, but he could be a damn good three. Tobias Harris could be a damn good three when your one and your two are Joel Embiid and James Harden. This team could take it to the next level. It's how fast can they take it to the next level? How long is it going to take them to become a cohesive unit? Because they sure as hell better make sure it happens before they get into the playoffs. Because if you're not a one or a two seed in the East, you're going to get linked in there in the 3-6 matchup or the 4-5 matchup where anything can happen. And, you know, and I'm not saying, it's not saying anything about those teams that are going to play in the play-in games, but you need to try and avoid playing in that 3-6, that 4-5 matchup as much as possible, because all these teams, they've either been together a long time or they're not that separated from what exactly the Sixers already can do. Slash.
Yeah, and you actually led into the question I wanted to ask. Throwing salaries out, Tobias Harris, the number three. Who is the number three on this team? Is it Tobias Harris? Well, I disagree. I don't think it is Tobias Harris. I think it's Tyrese Maxey.
Who has more of
an ability to take over a game with Harden and Embiid out? Tobias Harris? Because I haven't seen it.
I think that's a great question. I think that, yeah, Maxey would had more of an impact, but
he's 21 years old.
But saying that, when you think of like the three, like what Sack was saying with Andre Iguodala being a damn good three, you're thinking of not the primary guy or, you know, this like the two, the big two. Who's your third guy? Like if Simmons ever developed a good free throw, he would easily be a two. If he developed even more than that, he could be an MVP. But having Tobias Harris as a three would be good. I think what happens though is kind of like you start the game. I'm making this up here. Just starting the game: Embiid, Harris, Danny Green, Maxey, and Harden. Okay, Tobias is the three in that situation, and Maxey throws some burst here and there to get a drive. I mean, they'll have plays for him, but then Harden goes to the bench, right? Now, and Embiid goes to the bench, let's just say. Maxey can run with – Harris is always a complementary role where Maxey can be featured and Harris is always going to be complementary instead of I yell about the all-bench lineups since last year. And what I hate is when there's, you know, four guys and Tobias Harris who isn't a ball handler. People are like, it's not all bench. Look, there's Tobias. I'm like, That's not what I'm saying here. You stagger the ball handler. You stagger your top guys. So it's kind of weird. Like I agree. Maxey is probably, you know, I don't want to rely on him necessarily because 21, but I think he can give more and be more of a punch to the other team than Harris. But you just want Harris doing his consistent. I want him to go 7 for 11. 2 for 4 from three. He's going to have to do better on his catch and shoot threes because he takes too much time to like figure out what he wants to do. Like he's going to have to when Harden takes a drive, he's going to have to be camped out there, you know, two steps behind the three and step into it and let it go. Zach,
I think Tobias can play more freely now. He's not going to be relied on to be one of the main levels of production because with Ben, he had to be.
Well, now
right?
It's time to shine.
Well, now is more it takes
time
the pressure.
To shine as yeah time to yeah. shine as in like make your open shots because you're going to be open.
Yeah, some guys it's more it's difficult for them to take on that kind of a role, in particular in a fourth quarter of a game. He's going to be relied on now because you're either going to double up on Embiid or you're going to double up on Harden, and that's going to leave you open for some shots. Not saying that he's always going to be open for the shots because I think they'll leave more. They'll be more inclined to leave if Thibault's on the floor. I leave him wide open. If Danny Green's on the floor, I know he can knock down a triple, but he's not as efficient and as lethal.
More dynamic,
as
yeah.
But you know, Tobias is going to have his open looks. He's going to have to first of all take those shots, and then he's going to have to knock them down. You have to punish the other team and make them respect you. And the only reason why I'm not saying Maxey is the three right now is because of his age and his inexperience. And that, listen, that could come quickly, particularly in a postseason. We saw him last year in game 6 against the Hawks. The sad part is Doc didn't use him much in game 7. And maybe that was at the detriment of the team. But defensively, Seth Curry was getting cooked by what was it,
Herter.
Kevin Herter?
Yeah.
I mean, 27. Come on, man. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I like Seth Curry. And I enjoyed having him here because I thought, like, for a two guard, he played really well. But, man, Doc Rivers has to be one of the most lethal human beings in the history of the planet. He traded his son. He traded his son-in-law. And apparently he canceled practice that day to say goodbye to his grandkids.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I got to forget about that. I got problems with Doc. You know, listen, I'll say this over and over. Doc Rivers, Ben Simmons, villain number one for sure of Atlanta. But do not – I don't – percentage-wise, I don't know where you want to say. Ben Simmons was the most visible villain from that game or from that series. The fourth quarters, the missed up dunk. If Doc Rivers takes the defensive player of the year, the runner-up, and just puts him on Trae Young from the beginning of game one, I guarantee they win that series. That's
no,
game
experiment
one.
Experiment with Danny Green.
Yeah, Danny Green, who's getting cooked. Trae Young is like, he's a lethal offensive player. Also, all bench lineups in the playoffs. all bench lineup, still Doc Rivers. Here's a fun fact that no one's going to like, but this is the truth. Doc Rivers, top 15 coach of all time. Doc Rivers, he's won a title. That was in 2008. It's another time. The last eight years with the Clippers and one with the Sixers, he is 1-7 when he has a playoff series lead. 1-7. 2-1, 3-1. He's the only coach to have, he's the only coach in NBA history to lose three series holding a 3-1 lead. No lead is safe with Doc Rivers. So we could talk about Ben Simmons passing. It's not nothing. It's certainly something. But Doc Rivers, he's got to leave his guys on the court and stop with this all bench stuff in the playoffs. Now I don't really care. Let's make it right, man. I can't take Doc Rivers. He might have to go.
Did you say no lead is safe? Because no lead is safe when it comes to the Phillies bullpen at Bucks County Baseball Company, the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports.
When we come back on the other side, we're going to get a Sack Attack on the MLB lockout. I have a lot to say. Sack has a lot to say. Slash has a lot to say. Sam, as usual, nothing to say. We'll be back on the other side on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler. We are back on Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports, The Gambler. This is Diaz. I'm here with producer slash Kyle, intern Super Sam, and partner in crime, host of the Baseball Brunch on Fox Sports, The Gambler, Chris Sack. I've been waiting for your input here, Sack, for a couple weeks on this. We haven't talked about baseball. Pitchers and catchers were supposed to report on Tuesday of this week, February 15th. There are no pitchers and catchers in Florida or Arizona. We're recording on Thursday here. So the players and the players union and the league.
Nothing's happening between now and Saturday, 1-3. Nothing's
right.
happening.
Yeah, there was a meeting today. They finally decided to get together to negotiate in good faith together. They walked out after 15 minutes. So it's been a long time. The Eagles were good at the end of the year. We haven't had a Sack Attack in months. Chris, Sack, what do you got for us?
I am beyond sick and tired of the sport of baseball. My first love in life was the Philadelphia Phillies in 1993. I was 7 years old. My dad had a partial season ticket plan that year. My dad had an option during the NLCS that year, whether to go to game two or to game six. And my dad chose game two because it was guaranteed. Instead, we were at a game where Fred McGriff hit two moonshots. One still hasn't landed yet. And instead of being at game six, and I rib my dad about that all the time. But over the years, baseball has been very good and very kind to me. And I love the game of baseball.
Very good.
No. It's been very, over the last decade, it hasn't, you know, maybe the 90s. But from that time, 2000 to 2011, the Phillies were in it almost every year.
Place to be, for sure.
Yes, it was. And for me, it still is. It's my home away from home. It's my second home. I love Citizens Bank Park. And it annoys the crap out of me how little these people who run Major League Baseball, how they do not care about the common man, the fan base, the people that work at the ballpark, how much they want to take away from us with what they are doing to the sport. Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, two of the biggest horses' asses in all of sports, because these clowns, Rob Manfred and the owners, okay? And I'm not on either side here, all right? I refuse to be, because you got billionaires fighting millionaires, okay? And Rob Manfred and the owners decided to lock out the players. All well and good. But during the course of that lockout, how often did they get together over the course of 6 or 7 weeks of that lockout? Very rarely. Very rarely. Then they decide they
didn't meet for 45 days or something like that. Yes.
Then they decide they want to come together. They want to come together and meet. I'll tell you what. I don't think they've had a meeting longer than an hour. They went 2 weeks. You have an opportunity during the course of the event. All that's happening is meaningless basketball, meaningless hockey, and the freaking Pro Bowl.
Wait, the NHL's going on right now?
Yes, it is, Kyle. all you have during that week of the Super Bowl, you had the awesome conference championship games. And then up until the Pro Bowl, you have nothing. You have every opportunity to try and make headlines, steal headlines from the NFL that you're making progress in labor conversations. You took 2 weeks off from talking to each other. You didn't even know that there was a plan to talk to each other this week. Up until yesterday, when you decided that the Players Association and Major League Baseball were actually going to meet on Thursday. It took 15 minutes, 15 minutes for the meeting to come and go. Come and go. Okay. Abby gets more pleasure out of Mike Diaz.
I knew we were going to go somewhere on this. I was thinking Sam and Brady.
That's a good
one. But hey, throw me in. I don't want to divert you off your path, Zach. Okay, keep
pretty,
it going.
I know. Zach, keep going.
No interruptions.
But listen, 15 minutes, that's all it takes for you guys is just to sit there and say, you know what? We're going to leave the negotiating room and we have no plans to talk to each other again anytime soon. How hard is it to negotiate? You can negotiate if you're not in the same room trying to hash it out and make something happen. I don't understand where the leadership of baseball has gone completely cuckoo. I never thought in my life that I would be waiting for Bud Selig to take the office back over. Ooh. Because Rob Manfred is the worst commissioner in the history of professional sports. We've had labor peace since 1994 up until this clown took over.
It was surprising, the longest out of the four sports. There was a couple lockouts with basketball. There was a couple lockouts with the NFL.
There was a missed season for the NHL.
Hockey,
you missed half a season for the NHL. You had a lockout. You had two lockouts for basketball if you include 99.
Yeah.
And then you had the NFL. I mean, obviously they didn't miss anything, but you don't know how much money you're taking out of other people's pockets right now. The tourism.
Oh, here we go. No, baseball brunch every Sunday.
This has nothing to do with me because I have a job that's very well paying. I would love to have that extra income, but this is for people like the people that live in these small towns in Florida and Arizona that for a month and a half every year, they get so much more income because people come in to watch their favorite Major League Baseball team in that town, like Clearwater. Think about how much money those people, those bartenders, those the concession workers, the people that work at those stadiums.
With the pandemic, with coming out of a pandemic too, right?
Yes, restaurant workers, everybody that's around there. The tourism industry is going to take a hit because people can't go. Then you're going to take away the people that actually work at these stadiums, the ticket sales representatives. They're not selling tickets right now because nobody knows what the hell's going on. The beer vendors, the food suppliers, like everything that goes into a Major League Baseball season. And you're taking it away from those people. And what you're doing is, as a game of baseball, you are pushing the fan base further away. Further away. People that are already finding alternative options now are trying to find other options outside of baseball because they can't stand the fact that it's a slow-paced game. People are going to find other things to do. They're going to find other places to go. Like, you guys didn't learn from your mistakes in 1994. It took you 4 years and steroided baseball players to bring the fans back to the ballpark. And guess what? You're no longer drug testing now. So you might as well roid these guys up just a little bit more because in 4 years, you might need those roided up home run monsters to bring your game of baseball back because nobody right now cares. Nobody cares. And I agree right now with Keenan Harmon and with Brian Walden, that the fact that baseball sucks because I've had enough.
Sam, I have some points I'd like to share, but you had your hand sort of raised. I don't know if that was some weird spasm or something. Okay.
I was just kind of leaning to.
I agree. Listen, I'm going to say this. There is, I'm going to start this off here. I'm going to have a mini sack. I can never live up to your standard sack. So I'll say that.
Thank you.
There
Abby
is,
says
hey, we don't, every joke doesn't need to be an Abby joke. Why don't you make fun of my hair or the shine? There's been no shine jokes about the light here.
We're making fun of her. We're making fun of you.
No, Abby jokes directed towards me. This is how it goes here. This fight has been going on for 50 years, ever since Curt Flood and the reserve clause and free agency and what's his name? The guy, Marvin Miller, who broke the, you know, started the union and got free agency and stuff like this. If you actually, I would implore everybody, if just, if you don't care about the finances of sports and how the whole structure works and just want to watch the games and bitch about the games, like it, you really, you got to kind of look at how teams are built and the roster building and all the rules and salary caps and salary floors and all that stuff. Cause you get a better idea of like, how mad should I really be or how impressed should I really be at this win or loss? And baseball is so out of, no system is perfect. The NBA with their 5-year maximum contracts or 4 years if they're free, nothing is perfect. NHL has their issues. They're too ticket dependent. NFL is weird with their cap manipulation and how they just cycle through players through the grinder.
All cap in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's all kind of weird. Nothing is perfect, but baseball here, this is just some basics here for baseball. There is just no way in this situation that any real sports fan should be on the side of the owners. That's my general perspective on and on everything, or the league, so to speak, because we watch the players. We want to see Bryce Harper, National League MVP, go play baseball. The money is already there. Most of the money comes from the TV revenue. Those contracts are signed for 10 years in the future, 25 years, 3 years, 4 years. The money is there. So when people are like, these players, like, you watch Bryce Harper. You don't watch John Middleton. John Middleton's allowed to make money. They're allowed to put the infrastructure around the players. We watch baseball players. The players deserve, in my opinion, 51%, if not more. I don't know all the, they deserve most of the money that baseball players generate. That's just my overall thing. And when baseball year after year, and this is how baseball, I'm a financial planner here. You can do tricky accounting for a lot of stuff, but the owners, they're real smart. They're really good at making money. That's what they're really good at. Not really good at hiring coaches and managers and picking players and stuff like that. Good at making money. That's how they got to be billionaires. They have some tricky accounting, but what they do is they manipulate what's really revenue. But even then, the revenues are record over record every single year. Forget about the pandemic for a second. So I'm just making up numbers. The problem is the competitive balance tax, the salary tax, or whatever we want to talk about, and player salaries are tied to inflation. Now, we're in a high inflation thing now, and I hope I'm not losing everybody here. But just think about it this way. If you have revenues coming in, and your revenues are going up 60%, for example, wouldn't you think the salaries would go up 60%? You'd think the floor, the competitive balance tax would go up in line with revenues. That's how the NFL does it. Oh, the cap is jumping up $9 million because revenues go up. And that's not how it is. That competitive balance tax goes up by inflation, not revenues. What's really sneaky, what these owners do, they always cry poor. Listen, I don't know. These players are greedy players. They're coming after things like this. We don't have it here in Philadelphia because Citizens Bank Park is down there. But talk about like Wrigleyville or all that stuff around San Diego's park or St. Louis. I don't know what they call it. Sack, you can help me out. All of that business and restaurants and
Yawkey Way and
Yawkey Way, yeah. Cask and Flag. Like, I don't know who owns the Cask and Flag.
How about the Battery in Atlanta?
There you go. Yeah, the Battery. That is owned by the owners. They build the stadium. So what happens is when you talk about splitting it with players, baseball related revenue, they're talking about, you know, everything that we think of when we go to the game, parking and concessions, everything within the stadium. But is Wrigleyville really Wrigleyville without baseball? Is the Battery in Atlanta really worth, like, yeah, you can go off season and it's open and you go there. But why would anyone go there if that baseball stadium wasn't there? And when it's hard to get a table before a game in Wrigleyville, you know, why are we there? Why are we at Wrigleyville? Why would I go there? Why is it so hard to get, you know, going to all these other bars and it's expensive?
Just to find a spot to stand in a bar is insane in Wrigleyville.
Exactly. You know? But that does not count as baseball related revenue. Here's a big one. The sports books that are being built around these stadiums and gambling revenue is not considered baseball related revenue. These owners that are crying poor that these players are asking too much. The money is there. We want players to play first. We're not even going to talk about minor league. We got 2 minutes left in this segment. We don't have the time, but it's unbelievable in this sport. This is the only sport where it's 6 years before you can get free agency. That is ridiculous. And we all know Chris Bryant was more like 7 years, right? Because they waited 10 days to bring him up to manipulate service time. It's BS. Give me a little gobble on that one.
Come on, Quimby.
But it's true. It's true. It's 7 years for free agency. Chris Bryant is finally reaching free agency. He's 30. He's 30. What sport is this? What is this? This is just like, it's so, I mean, it's un-American and free market and all that stuff, but this is, and the owners are like, the players are being completely unreasonable. And it's like, I think they're just being basically reasonable. You guys make money off our backs. We want what we get. And it is billionaires versus millionaires, but the money is already there. So when anyone says, oh my God, a baseball player shouldn't be making $45 million a year, the money is already there. If it's not going to a player, it's going to an owner. So when anyone says, oh, that salary is ridiculous, it's already sold. It's already there. The ad revenue is already there. The TV contracts are already there. And that's just the way it goes. And if you don't believe that that's how it should be, do not watch the sport, because your eyeballs are causing the prices to go up and these players to get paid. It's insane. The owners suck. I hope baseball comes back. I'm rooting for the players. I want to go back to Citizens Bank Park this summer. Man, I didn't live up to your standard, Sack. Is there any way that you can help me out with a mini Sack attack?
No, we got to go to break, and I don't have any more live reads. Go ahead.
I was trying to set you up for
I know. Hey, we got legacy talk coming up in our
legacy talk. When we come back on the other side, what I like to talk about is how we talk about the history of players and their legacy and if they're successful or not successful on the backs of the Harden trade, Matthew Stafford winning an MVP and all that stuff. So we'll be back on the other side. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler. Back on Green Legion Radio and Fox Sports, The Gambler. It is our last segment here. It's an off-season edition. I was thinking about this week. I wanted to get the opinion of the guys, and maybe Sam, she doesn't really have valid opinions, but Matt Stafford just won a touchdown. We've got the James Harden trade. People are saying, what needs to happen for it to be a success?
He won a touchdown?
Oh, he won a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Guys, it's the last segment. I'm on the, like, the bourbon is running pretty low here. Come on. Of course, the process. I'm even thinking of some other things. Buddy Ryan, the Buddy Ryan era of the Eagles, the Eric Lindros trade. You know, we talk about whether it was good, bad, who's got to win, what's got to happen. We're going back to Twitter, the Twitter battle. Sack, I'm sorry you're involved with the NBZs. But, you know, some people like to say that the process Sixers were an utter and complete failure because they tanked for seven. It was 3 years. They tanked and they won a title. They haven't won a title, so it's an utter failure. And I'm like, well, first off, there's different levels, right?
You got 10 minutes, Diaz.
I want to frame it here. I'm going to frame it here with the Eric Lindros trade.
Good night, everybody.
Good night for Chris Sack. Good night, everybody. I'm going to frame it here with the Eric Lindros trade. Going back to 1992, I was there. I remember it. I was involved. It was almost like this Harden trade. It was like, oh, there's teams out there that are, ooh, he's not going to play for Quebec. What's going to happen? Oh, it's between us and the Rangers. It's going to, you know, go, oh, we're in this. This is a big thing. Yeah, and we got Eric Lindros for, I don't know, eight players and picks.
Peter Forsberg, Mike Ricci, Ron Hextall, $15 million.
Three picks or something like that.
I don't think their picks were involved. I think it was mostly players.
Prospects or something.
$15 million, yeah. But Forsberg was the big piece.
Right. Yeah, but you got other stuff too. So at the time, this was a huge success in town. We're like, we got this Eric Lindros who was huge. He was a masher, but he was also talented. He was it was like getting Andrew Luck out of nowhere. It was amazing. So what happened is Eric Lindros, Peter Forsberg goes to Quebec, goes to Colorado, wins a Stanley Cup title. Eric Lindros never wins a Stanley Cup title. I would say that trade was a huge success. The Flyers were so exciting in the 90s, early 2000s. It's a shame, you know, Lindros's parents and all the infighting and the drama and all that. But, you know, so here's my question. Does success solely depend on championships in sports in all of these different scenarios? Matthew Stafford, he won a Super Bowl, so all of a sudden he's a Hall of Famer. Well, he was either Hall of Famer before or he wasn't. This helps his cause. You know what I'm saying here? So, like, Eli Manning, well, he won two Super Bowls. Did he win them, or was he on a team that won two Super Bowls because he was terrible for the 15 years that they didn't win Super Bowls? Sack, well, what do you think about this idea? Kyle, can you take it, Kyle.
Yes, well, sir, I was just going to say, look at the other end of the spectrum. You have, like, the Trent Dilfers of the world, the Nick Foles of the world. They want a Super Bowl.
Does that make them better than Dan Marino? Right?
Exactly. Exactly. So you kind of find that happy medium where it's like this player was in a certain situation where they carried their team, they couldn't get over the hump, and then he went to a different team, won a Super Bowl, and now that solidifies his resume. I'm not saying that is Matt Stafford, but that's the ideal situation for getting that championship to put you over the hump. It's just the championship's not everything. You got to look at other factors and look at the circumstances and the team around you before you start just like throwing like championship. He's got a ring. Throw him in.
Right. I mean, like, you know, is Charles Barkley's career diminished because he didn't win a ring? Karl Malone, if they would have won a ring when he was on the Lakers that year and he was the fourth option on that team, would that have done anything to enhance his career? No, Karl Malone was an all-time great Hall of Fame player with or without that ring. Gary Payton's has a ring that he wound up getting with the Heat. Rings, championships are a team accomplishment. And, you know, Diaz and our arguments all the time about Claude Giroux, and I always say, if you want to look in the context of things, look at Mike Trout. Who's been the best player in Major League Baseball over the last 10 years? Mike Trout has been. Mike Trout has played in 3 playoff games in his career. They're 0-3 in playoff games in Mike Trout's career. To me, he's still the best player in baseball over the last decade, even though he has had no postseason success. Clayton Kershaw, even though he just won a ring, which was a bubble ring, right? I mean, it was 60-game season, won it in a bubble in front of, you know, half a full stadium, people in pods. He won a ring that year. To me, it did nothing to enhance that he's been one of the great pitchers over the last 12 years. And he's not even the same pitcher that he was before. Trying to put an establishment on players based off of championship rings is tough to do because you look at a player like Dan Marino who went to a Super Bowl in his second season. He never got back. How about Jim Kelly? It's impressive that the guy got the 4 straight Super Bowls. Now, what was more impressive, if he would have just got to 1 and won 1, or the fact that he got the 4 straight? No one else has ever done that before. So it's hard to put into words what a championship really means to someone's legacy, because not all the greats have won them. And that's the reason why you kind of take points off of Kevin Durant for doing what he's done in his career with going to an easy spot like Golden State. And mind you, he won the finals MVP twice while there, but he still had to leave someplace to go do it. I think a lot of times that tends to not hurt your legacy, but it really does nothing to enhance it. Slash?
I just wanted to summarize my point. Luis did that fantastically, of course, coming from a Dolphins fan. He said, I think titles can help you get in if you're on that border. And that's what I was trying to reiterate. Matt Stafford might be, he's tiptoeing that border.
I never had him on that border. I think
he's on that border.
Why? Because the numbers the error that he plays in, though.
I'm gonna
way too much.
Let me straddle. I shouldn't say the word straddle. I'm going to bounce between both points. Luis is definitely going to be a part of Diaz Nation when it comes down to my steak dinner bet with our program director Sean Brace about the Eli Manning. He's right. It's like, oh, he won titles, that means he's great. It doesn't mean he stinks or anything like that. My point is, if you look at Eli Manning's career, he's had one top 10 finish in QBR or quarterback rating ever in his career. He's not terrible. He's just not great. He just was never a great quarterback in his era. He was never a great quarterback. But he's like, look at the stats. Well, the good thing was, you know,
the stats. Look at the memorable play.
He stayed healthy. He played for 16, 17 years. He put out a lot of stats. When he retired, he's like seventh all time in passing. By the time he is eligible in 3 years or 4 years, there's going to be Stafford will be ahead of him. Give me someone. Roethlisberger's already passed him. All these guys are going to pass him because it's a passing league. Eli Manning benefited from kind of the old. He was drafted in 04. The old rules, you know, in 2010 kind of went over to the new rules where now it's just pass.
But he also has the benefit of the fact that he's played in two all-time great Super Bowls. And, you know, he beat the 18-0 Patriots.
He was on the team. He was on the team that beat them.
With a guy like Eli Manning, I don't look at him as first ballot, but the guy has a career 500.
Yeah, I know he. Yeah, I know.
The thing is with Eli is this is why I agree with Brace. He has the last name, which is the biggest cachet that you could possibly have for him being a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it's hard to tell the story of the National Football League without mentioning the name Eli Manning. It's hard to do.
No. First off, my argument here is just to bring light to the situation. I know Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. I don't think he deserves to be a first ballot, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer. That's my entire
point.
That's
reserved for Rodgers, Brady.
Yeah,
Breeze.
He will get in. He was on this. He had the David Tyree catch. He will get in. I'm not denying that. And those two runs, he never won a playoff game other than those two Super Bowl runs. And
you say, he should be? No. But the path that it takes to get in the Super Bowl, it's going,
if David Ortiz is a first ballot Hall of Fame, when it was obvious that he had taken steroids, it came out, and all the Boston fans can tell you that it was, and it was leaked illegally, but it still showed that he was taking it. I mean, you know. So anyway,
is Brady a Hall of Famer?
Aunt Sam?
In Sam's room.
Cheaters don't get to be Hall of Famers, you know,
in baseball, actually more so in football than it is in baseball. Listen, Sam, if we go into your closet right now, you're like Helga from Hey Arnold, and you have a bubblegum statue of Arnold. Yep, you have the shrine.
Oh, my God. You go in Sam's closet, it's going to be more crustier than Kyle's wall
first
over there.
First of all, in my closet, there's more sports T-shirts than all three of you combined.
Crusty in the corner, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you have a San Francisco 49ers Kevin Barlow jersey? I don't think so.
All right. Anyway, hey, let's wrap it up. We will be back every single week. I guess until the Big East tournament. Go Cats. Go Nova.
By the way, Quimby was supposed to join us tonight in the first segment. I don't know what happened. So
was that true?
Yeah. He was supposed to.
He was introduced to a bottle of Jameson, I guess.
Yeah. So
how's it
when it's next week? I'm sure.
I'm sure he'll step in. That will be great entertainment here on Green Legion Radio.
Actually, I think he knows that the viewers on watching us right now and our ratings are down, so he needs to jump in and help us get them back up.
Yeah. Hit him broadcasting live from a monsoon in the Grand Cayman. That'll really do
with
the paddle
boarder.
With the paddle boarder. Yeah. Are there any? Well, the Olympics are going on. We need an Olympic report from Quimby and Olympic paddle boarders. Final thoughts, Zach. You got anything for us?
Nah, man. Great show. Had a lot of fun tonight with you guys. Looking forward to not listening to it on Saturday. I hope everybody else does.
Wow. Slash. What do you got?
Yes, it is the Eagles off season, but the beard is here. Let's get ready for the NBA postseason. I'm excited.
Sam, can you contribute something once?
I'm just sad football's over right now. So
football season's all year round. Free agency starts March 16th, so we have less than a month to go to that. I will be at Madison Square Garden on February 27th for the Sixers-Knicks. First look at James Harden. I will be at Wells Fargo Center Wednesday. Whatever is that? whatever that here? That Wednesday. No, I think it's March 1st. I get March 2nd, whatever that is.
It's March 2nd.
Yeah, against the LOL Knicks, our first home look at the Beard and Joel Embiid. But for Slash, Sack, Sam, the three S's, please rate, review, subscribe, download the show on iHeartRadio mobile app, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. For all of us, this is Diaz. Shut up, Diaz. Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll see you next week. Peace.